and welcome to another episode of Better Than Robin Hood. I am Pete Langhout.
I am Fran Langhout.
Yes, you are. And we are, of course, continuing our never-ending quest to try and find a film that you like more than Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Well.
Well, this week, it's a very special Battle of the Robin Hoods. It's another double header. We've done this before, of course.
Not with these Robin Hoods.
No, when we watched 1991's and 2018's Robin Hoods.
Yes.
Which were both wonderful in their own unique little ways.
Did we ever do the really new one?
Yeah, that was the newest one. The one with Taron Egerton in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, God, that was stupid. I liked it, though. But this week, it's the turn of Disney's animated film from 1973, The Animated Robin Hood, and Mel Brooks' Robin Hood Men in Tights from 1993.
Yes.
Also got our usual fun and silly nonsense. So, on with the show.
Lovely.
What have you been up to this week, Fran?
I have been to work.
How exciting.
And I've been on some good dog walks.
Yeah. Still kind of locked down, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you've been sneaking out, haven't you?
I have.
Committing felonies.
Don't tell on me.
You're supposed to be going to work, aren't you?
No. But the it was for the dog's needs.
Yeah. The dog doesn't need to go to work. Yeah, he's got his own job.
His mind. Needs to be somewhere.
The dog's barely got a mind. At the moment, he's licking the net curtains. Well, to beat the lockdown boredom, we've also been watching a lot of old episodes of Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, and I've been watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy, actually.
Grey's Anatomy, Kitchen Nightmares. So as I was going through our mail this week, I was surprised to find an anonymous videotape. It had been sent in a very badly sellotaped parcel of old newspaper, and on it was written in crayon, "For the attention of Pete Langhout, please play on your show." And it just so happens that it's actually a new episode of Kitchen Nightmares that was due to air this year, but it had to be pushed back due to the COVID-19 outbreak. So this seems important, so I thought as part of the food section this week, we could listen to this new episode of Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares.
I do love a bit of Gordon Ramsay.
So let's do that. It's the food section.
This week on Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares, I'm helping to postpone the demise of another failing restaurant for at least 2 years. I'm in East London, helping young chef Jamie Oliver. Jamie's Italian hasn't seen a customer in weeks, and Jamie's dream of becoming the city's most popular overpriced chain restaurant is turning into a nightmare.
Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares.
Well, I'm here on Shoreditch High Street outside Jamie's Italian. It's as quiet as the fucking grave. Not a soul in fucking sight. It's lunchtime. No wonder this place is in trouble. Let's check it out.
Hello, and welcome to Jamie's Italian.
Hi Jamie, I'm Gordon.
I know who you are.
Hi, seen me on the telly, have you?
No, we've already filmed this bit twice.
I'm having lunch here. The food at Jamie's has already been slated online, described as overpriced spaghetti bolognese, and there's frequently complaints that Jamie is selling supermarket wine for 20 quid a bottle.
Gordon, here's your lunch.
The food was actually okay, so I'd better find something to nitpick. Jamie, was that food fresh?
Yes, it's in date for another week.
No, I mean, has it come from a farm or from a fucking freezer?
It come from the freezer.
Why the fuck has it come from a freezer?
Jamie's Italian is a large chain, and it is therefore more cost-effective and central to a brand-focused and consistent dining experience to order from a central supplier for all of the branches.
I need to show Jamie the advantage of fresh food, so I take him to the local market.
Who are you talking to?
Get your veggie out. £2 a pound, your bananas, £2 a pound.
Do you ever shop here, Jamie?
No.
Why? Look at all this lovely fresh produce. Better than that frozen shit you served me for lunch.
Well, Gordon, local markets can't offer the same consistency of supply or extend the line of credit that most businesses would require in a credit cash flow market like a restaurant industry. It's also not an efficient use of my time as a head chef. My duties frequently require me to oversee several facets of the business, as well as about 12 hours a day cooking. Also, most local market traders, they order from the same wholesalers as restaurants, which therefore means I'd pay more and receive goods which are actually less fresh than they would be direct from the wholesaler.
But look, this is being sold in the street by a cockney. That means it's better. Look at this potato. It's still fresh from the field.
Nah, mate, I'll get him flown in from Poland. Much cheaper than that organic shit.
Can you say it's fresh for the purposes of documentary?
This is fresh. That means it is better.
Nice one. Here's a tenner.
Oh, money.
Back at the restaurant, I decided to make Jamie look like a cunt for the purposes of the camera. Despite him not having had a customer in weeks, I've given him no time to prepare for a busy night and invited 600 people to fit into a space designed for 28.
Oh, bloody hell! I'd have eaten everything and there's nowhere for the people to fucking sit!
Jamie, can I pull you away from trying to run your kitchen to shout at you in the car park?
Well, it might be better to do that later.
A minute later, I try to perk Jamie up with a pep talk. Look, you fucking stupid prick! You're fucking everything up! Look at the fucking state of the place! There's no food going out! It's a fucking disaster! If you can't cook 600 simultaneous dinners in 30 minutes, made entirely from food you picked up from a farm yourself at dawn, then you don't deserve to call yourself a fucking chef, all right? Now fuck off! I don't know how I'm going to motivate someone like Jamie. After a disastrous start, people have finally got their dinners. Because remember, people getting dinner in a restaurant is the most important thing in the world. I get a minute to speak to Jamie. So Jamie, why do you think no one's eating here?
It's probably because of coronavirus.
Because of what?
Coronavirus. No one's supposed to go out, you see?
A month and a trip to the ICU later, I'm back to check on Jamie's Italian. Hi, Jamie. Good to see you again.
Hello.
So, how are things at the restaurant now?
It's bad. Everyone is dead.
So, where are you getting your produce from?
The market.
Yes. At last, you fucking understand. My work here is done. Everyone in London might have died, but I think now that Jamie is getting his food from the local market and is serving exactly the same food as his competitors on the same street, that he'll be all right.
Jamie's Italian closed 6 months after filming for a combination of bankruptcy and respiratory failure.
Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares.
It's the food section. Well, that was quite an episode of Kitchen Nightmares, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
I didn't realise Jamie Oliver served frozen spag bol.
Well, now we know, thanks to Gordon. But luckily, now he's getting it all at the market. So everything will be all right.
Yeah, except the market is shut now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but that is a problem Jamie will have to face without Gordon.
Yeah, I'm sure he can find his veg somewhere else.
I know. I wish Jamie all the best in his endeavours. And who knows, he might be back again next week. Although, probably not.
Okay, dear.
So we watched two movies this week. The first one we watched was, of course, Disney's animated Robin Hood from 1973.
Yeah. Very much a classic, isn't it?
Very much so. It has a 54% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and an 81% audience score.
Is that mainly children or parents, do you think?
Probably people who watched it in their youth and have since given it a rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Maybe, I would
have
thought.
Because that's what people do these days. They go online, they review things.
Yeah, I thought it was quite good, really.
It was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Robin Hood was a fox.
He was a fox. Mm-hmm. A cunning, cunning fox. And therefore, it was a wonderful viewing experience. It was directed by Wolfgang Riefemann, who also directed Sleeping Beauty, 101 Dalmatians, The Sword in the Stone, The Jungle Book, The Aristocrats, and The Rescuers.
The Aristocrats.
It's, of course, the Aristocats.
Yes.
Yes.
That's one of my other favourites.
Is it? I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's so cute. There's this cat that plays the piano. He goes, do, 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 on the piano.
What, like that cat on YouTube?
No.
No?
No. He was first.
Oh, I see.
YouTube cat was second.
It stars the voices of Brian Bedford, Phil Harris, Monica Evans, and Peter Ustinov.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. It was originally going to be relocated. The location of the film was going to be set in the south of the United States in the style of the Disney classic Song of the South. But Disney wisely kept the location in the UK due to complaints of racism in Song of the South. And if anyone's seen Song of the South, I can assure you it's incredibly racist.
Very much so.
Yeah. Producer Ken Anderson pushed for the film to be made, but he was devastated by the final result. He hated the stereotypical characters and the lack of all the other merry men.
Oh.
Hmm. It has, however, a much-loved Disney film, and director Byron Howard said it inspired his film Zootopia.
Not seen Zootopia.
It's very similar to Zootropolis.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But not as good.
I don't know. I've not seen either of them.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Shock Horror, a live-action remake, is in the works, which will no doubt be as shit as all the other ones.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to do this, Disney. No one's asking you for them.
No.
But however, people are going to see them. So.
I thought The Jungle Book was better than The Lion King, though.
Yeah, Jungle Book was all right. But, like, just leave them. Just re-release the cartoons. Touch up the graphics a bit.
Yeah, I like the cartoon versions.
People would still go and see them.
Yeah, of course they would.
Yeah. Fucking Lion King made like $1 billion.
Yeah.
Anyway, Frank, can you describe the plot of Disney's Robin Hood?
Yes. So it's a very shortened version of the, obviously, of the real film.
I wouldn't say it's that shortened.
It's...
You don't really see his origin, do you?
No.
He's already Robin Hood.
He's already Robin Hood, and he's already helping the people.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah, he's Robin Hood, and Maid Marian is in the castle. Mm. She's not on a... Like, she is with Prince of Thieves, where she's owns her own castle and grounds.
Mm.
She's being kept by the horrible sheriff.
Yeah.
Who is a... I want to say he's a wolf, isn't he? Yeah. And obviously, he's running the town and stealing all the town's money for the king,
who is
a lion.
Yes.
And
cowardly lion.
A cowardly lion. And yeah, basically, it's just how they take all the money back and give it back to the poor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he obviously ends up marrying Maid Marian.
Of course. And as he should.
And as he should, yes.
Yeah. So I thought the best way to compare these two films, because they're both ostensibly comedies, I thought it'd be best to compare them by the number of times we laughed.
Okay.
So that's what I've done. I've tallied things up. Things
How you did
laughed
you know?
At. Things I've laughed at. I was listening, observing you throughout the process.
Were you?
I was. So in general, though, what did you make of Disney's Robin Hood?
I thought it was quite good.
Hmm. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, it was very classically Disney, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was all right.
But it was good.
So you laughed 17 times in this film. I laughed 16 times. The first thing you laughed at was the opening credits.
Why?
You laughed at the fact that there was a rooster playing a guitar.
Oh, yeah. He was quite funny, actually.
I liked Alan. Yeah, Alan O'Dale. He was good.
Yeah.
He was like the narrator.
He had a very American voice, though, didn't he?
Yeah, you could see. I think they'd probably started setting the film in the in the South.
In the deep South with the rooster.
But when they casted all the voices, and then when the decision was made to reset it, I think they were just, oh, well, I'm not getting new actors in.
No. No point. No,
we'll just keep all these American accents.
Yeah, I did like the rooster. He was very comical.
He was. I liked him. Yeah, very funny. First thing I laughed was at the voice of Little John, who's a giant bear. He's got like a really cool sort of Baloo the bear voice.
His voice, I can't place it, but it's definitely been in another Disney film I've heard. And it was either Baloo...
It's almost identical to Baloo's voice. So I think
is it the Jaguar in the Jungle Book?
Bagheera.
No,
he's got more of a wise voice, hasn't he?
I'm sure it's one of them, but anyway.
Little John's got really like dopey, really good voice for a bear.
Yeah, I want to say it's Baloo.
And then you chuckled a lot at Robin Hood and Little John getting done up as ladies to...
I did.
To trick the king. You're easily abused, aren't you?
I am, yeah. It was when, obviously, the bear was running.
Little John's got massive tits.
And he's filling them with all these coins.
Someone at Disney really has a thing for bears with tits.
Yeah.
Because Baloo obviously wears a coconut bra in the Jungle Book. And, yeah.
Obviously, it's...
Someone at Disney wants to have sex with a bear with massive tits.
I think someone, definitely, you're right.
Maybe it was a Walt Disney kink. You know, he was probably dead. I mean, he died in like 1968.
Yeah. There's something weird going on because...
Something weird.
Bears are definitely wearing a lot of...
I would not recommend having sex with a bear.
No.
Because they would not enjoy it. They would rip your face off.
Yeah.
And bears will have sex with you because that's what happens to Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant, isn't it?
No, the bear just wants to eat him.
It looks like it's trying to have sex with him.
Yeah, it just tries to kill him, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does that in the process of having sex with him.
Well, it doesn't kill him, but
I'd have preferred the film if he died, because fucking boring after that bear attack.
Of all the films, though, he gets an Oscar for that film.
It was just his turn, wasn't it?
I was like, of all the good films he's been in.
I know. Could have got one for Wolf of Wall Street.
Great Gatsby.
Titanic.
I mean, there's endless films.
Leo's never done like a really shit film.
No, not really. No.
And he's never really sold out ever. He's a good actor. He's always been in stuff he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
for
Leo.
So, going back to the bears.
Back to bears with tits.
I was laughing because the bear was running and trying to put these... pantyhose on that were polka dots.
Yeah, they're always in a hurry, Robin and Little John, aren't they? Yeah. They seem to be constantly running to whatever they're doing.
Yes.
But that makes for more comedy, I think. Peter Ustinov is the voice of King John.
Oh, right, yeah.
And his voice is amazing. He's saying, taxes, taxes, oh, I love taxes. He's like that all the way through.
He is,
proper camp and over the top.
Yeah, and then when he's asleep... He obviously is dreaming about more taxes, isn't
he? Is. I mean, lovely dreams about gold.
Yeah.
You also had a good laugh at the bit where he falls into mud shortly after he's robbed.
Oh, yeah. It's because they steal the hubcaps.
steal the wheels of his carriage.
They steal the hubcaps of his carriage, and then obviously the wheels come off when it's when they're trying to go get away. And,
he's hanging on the back for dear life.
Yeah, and then he just falls in the mud.
Nothing funnier than a man falling in the mud. I enjoyed Sir Hiss, his little servant.
Oh, yeah.
The snake. And when he's sat in a basket, he keeps trying to stop Robin Hood stealing some gold. But King John's tied him up in a knot, so he can't speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt a bit sorry for Sir Hiss at times.
He does get abused,
he
doesn't
does.
He?
He does. And he gets kind of picked on by King John.
I like it when he tries to put his arms
He folds his arms.
He folds his whole body like a pair of arms and puts his head down like he's all sad.
I liked the bit where Sir Hiss was tasked with keeping an eye on the archery contest and put his head in a balloon and flew around like a helicopter.
And then someone popped it with an arrow.
Yeah,
we haven't been having mushrooms, if anybody's worried.
Although I reckon if you had mushrooms and then watched a Disney movie, you'd have a really good time. Especially if you watched Dumbo, because that's trippy as balls. That and Fantasia.
Oh.
There's a rhino guard who's, of course, like, in love with Little John dressed as a woman.
Oh, yes.
Because any time someone dresses in drag to trick a guard will become attracted to.
Yes, of course.
So, yeah, so Rhino looks at the tits and gets, shall we say, a little horny. Oh! Another zinger.
Large or small?
He's very horny.
He's got a large horn, hasn't he?
He's got a right horn on for Little John and his big boobs. I've written dirty thumb.
What?
But I can't remember why we both laughed dirty at someone thumb. Saying dirty thumb.
Oh, it's because the king always sucks his thumb and then Sir Hiss went...
Oh, yeah, he's got a dirty thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. The sheriff's accent is literally amazing. The sheriff of Nottingham is a big fat wolf. And he's got a proper southern sheriff's accent.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that immensely. You had a laugh when you saw some rabbits having a birthday party.
I did. It was really cute.
Yeah, so you are quite easily entertained.
I was like...
Just some dancing rabbits having
so
a birthday party.
There's so many rabbits there.
It's because rabbits have lots of kids.
But then they stole... The sheriff stole that... The farthing, wasn't it?
Yeah, the last farthing. But it's all right.
Is that British money, farthing?
Yeah, farthing, I think, was about 5p back in the old days, yeah. Before when we had shillings and things like that.
Yeah.
Now our money's very simple to understand.
Yeah, pounds.
Yeah, it's 100 pennies to the pound. 100 shiny pennies make one shiny golden pound. Here's 5p for being good. Anyway, I laughed at... There's a tortoise with a very funny voice.
Oh, one of the kids, yeah.
Yeah, and you really enjoyed that every time he was frightened, he popped his head down into his shell.
He did, though.
He did. Yeah, and you see his little eye poking out the side. Yeah.
Or he tries to poke his head half out, doesn't he?
Hmm. One of the rabbits fancies Robin Hood.
Yes.
Who is a fox, of course.
Yes, the little girl, isn't it?
Yeah, a little rabbit girl fancies
Robin Hood. Yeah, she fancies Robin Hood.
And I think this was at the point I wrote down the words fox sex.
Oh, yeah. Because
I wondered how foxes had sex.
Like dogs.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were, like, different.
No.
No? Okay.
Why is that so hard to...
I don't know. I've never really thought about
have sex.
How foxes had sex.
like dogs and cats do.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. You learn something new every day.
Like, I don't know, giraffes do.
There's an archery contest, of course.
Oh, of course there is.
Of course. And
there's always one in Robin Hood.
Robin goes there to impress Maid Marian, who is a very foxy vixen. I think that's probably why I wrote down fox sex, because I was thinking about...
She's very pretty fox, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a foxy lady, shall we say. I like how in the rest of the film, like, there's different species living all in one community, but they don't marry across the species.
Yeah, because the badger is the Friar Tuck, isn't he?
Is he a badger?
Yeah.
Oh, it was hard to pinpoint what kind of animal he was.
Yeah, he had said only because of the credits he said he was a badger.
Oh, right. Yeah, I couldn't work it out. It was very odd. I liked how the elephants sat in the tower and used their trunks as trumpets to announce King John's arrival. That's one of the things that
he was sucking his thumb.
I laughed at. But the thing I got the most laughs out of was another one of Little John's disguises. So he dresses as a nobleman to infiltrate the archery contest.
Oh, yeah.
And he introduces himself as... I am the Duke of Chutney, which made me laugh enormously. It made me think of a man, a very posh sort of regal gentleman in charge of all of the chutney in the land.
Yes, making sure.
I'd love that job.
You would, wouldn't you?
If I was in charge of all the chutney.
You do like chutney.
I love chutney. All kinds of chutney, in fact.
I like caramelised onion chutney.
That's one of my favourites. I like mango chutney.
Yeah, with a good curry.
Carrot chutney.
Have you ever had carrot chutney?
Yes. Piccalilli.
Piccalilli's not a chutney.
Banana chutney. all the different kinds of chutney.
Okay, dear.
I like them. I've also written the words, clucky. Oh, yeah, that was Maid Marian's.
Oh, it's her servant lady.
Yeah, you laughed out loud when someone said the words, oh, clucky. I think it's because it sounds a bit like fuck.
No.
No?
I laughed because she's fat.
She's pretty cool, though.
Someone calls her fat, don't they?
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
That is one... Well, there are many similarities, of course, but the similarity between this and Men in Tights is that Maid Marian has a fat lady looking after her.
Yeah, she does.
That's always trying to stop her kissing men. there's a Captain Crocodile. I don't know why.
I never really got what...
No, he doesn't bring much to the table.
No, I never really paid much attention to him.
But I think I just laughed because he was called Captain Crocodile. It was like, when they were going through naming the characters. We need a crocodile.
He can't be just a crocodile, can he?
No, Captain Crocodile.
Yeah.
That's why. Because at Pontins, which is a holiday camp in the United Kingdom, Captain Pontins. Crocodile leads the children's club. He's like the mascot.
Do you reckon that was made, or that came about before the film, or after the film?
I would say probably afterwards. Yeah. Reports I've heard from people who've been to Pontins and joined the Crocodile Club said it's a bit like the Hitler Youth.
Oh my god.
It's like a lot of pressure.
Do you not do Pontins?
No, I've never been to Pontins. My family was too rich. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be from a very middle class family, you see.
Yeah.
I've never been to Pontins. We're more of a Centre Parks family. Yeah. But yeah, apparently, like, you have to conform at Crocodile Club or you're quickly ostracized by everyone. And yeah, there's a lot of pressure to conform. Yeah.
Didn't they shun one of the children? Cause...
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, if you don't, like, get involved with the activities, you're like, you're a pariah, basically, at Crocodile Club.
What?
Your parents have just shunted you off to this Crocodile Club while they swan around getting pissed.
And spending loads of money.
Yeah, you've got to do this crap club all day. And if you don't join in, you get in trouble. Yeah, it's like being at school.
Oh.
Or on the hill of you. you had a good laugh at every time King John was tickled in the ear by Sir Hiss, which happens quite a lot.
Oh, no, and he was tickling his feet, wasn't he, when he was...
Yeah, although that's on my list of things I laughed at. I enjoyed King John in bed. Having dreams about Robin Hood and taxes.
And Robin Hood stealing the money right out from under him.
Yeah. I liked how it did get... There was quite a lot of deep thinking involved. I've written at the top that there's an image of a tax dodger in the stocks.
There is.
And I was like, oh. See, that's where I'd like to see Richard Branson and people like that. People who don't pay taxes. Yeah. Yeah. Serge and Larry.
We're not going to bail you out, Richard Branson.
You can suck my root if you think you're getting any more of my taxes. You beardy fucker.
I think he's lost the beard now, hasn't he?
I don't know. Hope he loses his legs. Wow. I got dark quickly. But yeah, also how King John was driven a little bit mad by his constant quest for taxes. He's sat there amidst his treasure, but it hasn't brought him happiness, has it?
No.
All that wealth, in fact, has made him less happy.
And he was very upset. He was crying, wasn't he?
He was. Really what he wanted, I think, was the approval of his mother and father.
And Maid Marian.
And Maid Marian. And he wanted to prove that he was a better man than Robin Hood. But he was unable to do that. And in the end, was driven to the very edge of mania by his constant quest for gold. And, yeah.
It's very dark.
It has. However, there is a bit where there's a really fun fight at the archery competition, and Little John ends up with his head stuck out the top of the tent while four rhinoceroses run around.
Oh, yes.
And he shouts the words, "Who's driving this flying umbrella?" And that made me laugh a lot.
Where was the belly bounce?
Belly bounce comes when Little John fights the Sheriff of Nottingham, because they're both very fat men. And they have a great big belly bounce.
I remember.
They fight one another with belly bounces.
I did a belly bounce once when I was away for work.
Mm-hmm.
We were drinking, and
a drink had been taken, had it?
Yes, maybe a few. And I ended up on the floor, nearly unconscious.
You got belly bounced, nearly unconscious, did you?
Yeah, nearly.
If you ever want to hear a really good belly bounce story, I suggest you listen to Russell Brand's podcast on Audio Boom. I think one of the first few episodes, they have a good chat about belly bouncing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you go skin on? Or
skin on skin is like a top level belly bouncing, I think.
Or is it just all right for your t-shirt now?
I think if you're new to belly bouncing, you should just do what feels comfortable to you.
Because I went in for my belly bounce. And I was obviously a bit more gentle.
Belly bounce!
than this fellow. Yeah. And he obviously went full ball. Mm. And that's how I ended up on the floor.
You got a full belly bounce onto Did you land on your coccyx?
Straight back.
Straight back. Mm. Did you strike your head?
No. Missed the pool table.
I think the problem was that you went... So you didn't just dip your toe in the water of belly bouncing.
I was dipping my toe.
You went straight in for full belly bounce.
We should have clarified the rules.
You should. It's
before belly bouncing.
The rules to belly bouncing are very similar to the rules of sex, I think. You've got to make sure that both of you give everyone's consents and that you're not doing anything the other person's not comfortable with.
Okay. Without them. I'll remember that.
And don't go in too fast on your first attempt. That's what I say. And remember, if you're doing belly bouncing with a new partner, sometimes the first belly bounce might not go so well. But that doesn't mean that you aren't compatible sexually.
Yeah.
You've got to listen to each other's needs. And then maybe after a week or two of belly bouncing regularly, you'll know each other's kinks, shall we say. What the other person enjoys. And your belly bouncing will be at the very highest level.
Yes.
And you will live long and happy lives belly bouncing.
Give it time.
Do not belly bounce pregnant people.
No.
Or people with gastric injuries.
Yes, and that's very important.
And that is how belly bouncing should be done.
Okay.
So, moving swiftly on.
Yeah, but lions' dicks are tiny.
How do you know that?
Because if you watch David Attenborough...
I do watch David Attenborough. He doesn't like film hardcore close-up pornography.
It is a well-known fact that lion willies are tiny.
Is that why they're always so grumpy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be too if I had a little penis. Yeah, and then we both had a good laugh at the final line of the film, which is, that's the way it happened. Yeah, I know that. I've just watched it.
Yeah. Maybe that's the rooster.
It was. He went, that's the way it happened. I know that's the way it happened.
He's just clarifying that people know that that is the way it happened.
It's not like the end of Inception where you don't know whether it's a dream or not. It's just clarifying. It's like Leonardo DiCaprio at the end of Inception just looking at the camera going, I'm not dreaming. But is he dreaming or is he not? No one knows.
No one knows.
See, I like happy endings to films, so I just assume that he's awake so that everything's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure, isn't it? Inception. So, you found it slightly funnier than me. Jesus, our dog's just farted.
Oh, God.
Stinks, isn't it?
Yes, anyway.
You laughed 17 times to my 16, yes. We've talked about all the things that you laughed at. Would you recommend Disney's Robin Hood?
I would.
Who would you recommend it to?
To families.
Families? Families
children?
Of all ages?
No. Mainly with small children and maybe if you're high on mushrooms.
Yeah. I would watch this again. Oh, like, if I was really... Jesus. Dog fart is lingering. Apologies, listeners. I might have to cut some of this out. How many slices of cake out of 12 do you give this film?
I give it 8.
8 slices of what?
Of... Victoria Sponge.
Victoria Sponge. You don't like Victoria Sponge.
I do.
You have this debate every week.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 7 slices of lemon drizzle cake.
Like lemon drizzle.
I do, but not as much as gatto. So this scores slightly lower. I had fun watching it and I was glad it was only an hour and a half long.
Yes.
So, yeah. All in all, it was good.
It was fine.
I would recommend it to... anyone who had an hour and a half to kill. It was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
Have a little watch.
No Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask if any of them topped it, but you've just given that away.
Oh, sorry.
But everyone was on tenterhooks waiting to find out then. The other film we watched this week was Robin Hood, Men in Tights from 1993. That has a 40% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and an 81% audience score.
That's the same, isn't it?
It is exactly the same, but a lower critics score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It is a shame.
Who is made up of, like, who makes the Rotten Tomatoes?
So the critic score is from all, like, from a selection.
Are they mostly American?
Well, yeah.
Well, then they won't get the British humour, will they?
Mel Brooks is American.
But it's a British humoured film, isn't it?
I don't know about that. It was, of course, written and directed by Mel Brooks, famous New York American Jewish man.
Okay, sorry.
It stars Kerry Elois, Richard Lewis, Tracy Ullman, Dave Chappelle.
And who's Dave Chappelle?
He was the only black man in the film.
Oh, I recognise that name.
Yeah, he's a very famous comedian now. This was his first film role.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's also got Mel Brooks, makes a small cameo as a rabbi. This was the only time it appeared in one of his own films where he did not play the leading role.
Oh.
Ooh. It was not well received by critics. However, the film made a profit at the box office, and Mel Brooks claims that alongside Spaceballs, it was one of his most successful films commercially due to its high sales on video.
Spaceballs?
I've not seen Spaceballs.
No.
Oh, well, that's coming up. Would you like to describe the plot of Robin Hood Men in Tights?
It's exactly the same. Except this version has a lot more singing in it. But I didn't think it was that great.
What did you make of this film, Fran?
It's all right. It's funny, isn't it?
Hmm.
But when you watch, like, when I watch Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, it's just so good. It's not like a musical version.
My thought was this.
It was musical, though.
There was, like, 3 songs in it.
It was some rapping.
Yeah, that was, makes it better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think all films should have some rapping.
Rapping.
You've seen them, the raps. Oh, what have I done here? I've turned it over already.
Yeah.
My notes are all over the show today.
Yeah, it was all right.
Hmm. However, we both found it equally or more funny than Disney's Robin Hood. You laughed, again, 17 times.
Yes.
Is that like your rationed amount of laughter at any film?
Yes.
Okay. I laughed a lot more because I love Mel Brooks. 23 laughs for me.
I mean, it was funny.
Yeah, but you said it was funny, but...
It's a serious film. It should not be funny, you know?
Do you think Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves is a serious film?
Yes.
It does not take itself very seriously.
No, it is a serious film.
It takes itself seriously when it needs to. To put some tension and stakes into the film. But the rest of the time, it's laughing at itself.
I mean, in the first 5 minutes, someone dies.
Yeah, there's a bit of that.
Yeah.
But that, again, that's to put some stakes into the fighting. But it mainly is a comedy, especially Alan Rickman's performance. All of Alan Rickman's performance is hilarious.
Yes. I'll give you that.
Yeah, there's a lot of silly sound effects and things like that.
Yes, all right.
So, it's not as funny as this. And therefore, this is better than Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. We've done it.
No.
Oh. Well, we both had a good laugh at the credits because some archers set fire to a village.
Yes, and then they go...
Leave us alone, Mel Brooks.
Yeah, I like that bit. That was funny.
Yeah, it was very funny. I laughed a lot when he arrived in England because they take the piss out of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, where the first thing Robin Hood does is like shovel mud into his mouth.
No, he doesn't shovel it in his mouth. He sniffs it, but I don't really know why he does that. And then he like rubs it, sand all over him, like he's exfoliating himself.
I mean, like,
and then he falls on his back and does like a starfish.
Because I've travelled extensively and spent a lot of time out of the country, and I miss England, sure. But when I return, I never feel the need to, like, rub the earth of England onto my body.
No. But he was gone a very long time.
And he was gone, what, a few years?
Like 5 or 6, wasn't he?
Yeah. Again.
More than that, wasn't he?
Like, my granddad lives in Spain. He doesn't rub himself his hand every time he gets to England.
He might do it the other way around, though.
Maybe he does it when he arrives in Spain.
Yeah.
We just don't know. But yeah, so in this, that is mocked because he tries to eat the sand on the beach and ends up just spitting it out and coughing all over himself. There's a lot of breaking the fourth wall. I really enjoyed during the final sword fight when he pokes his sword through the window and it like stabs one of the crew members like bagels. In the
oh, yes. I like
so,
that.
Hey!
Hey!
Yeah, then probably the best thing in the film happens when Little John and Robin Hood meet and have a fight with sticks. And the sticks keep breaking.
And they keep getting smaller and smaller.
And in the end, they're just tapping each other on the fingers with the sticks. And then he pushes them in the little river.
And he goes, I can't swim!
So, well, it's just like a puddle. It's like, I'm drowning. Mel Brooks gives us a little sick burn to Prince of Thieves as well. When Robin Hood says, I'm the only Robin Hood that can do an English accent. Kevin Costner can't do an English accent.
Yes, he can.
English courage. I have a brother. I have a brother. Robert of Loxley.
He is English-American.
There were no American accents back then.
Yeah, but he went over to fight in the Crusades.
You think he picked up an American accent at the Crusades?
Maybe he got lost on the way.
I would love to watch that film. There's a duel challenged. Robin is slapped in the face with a leather glove.
Oh, yes. I like doing that to you.
You do. Every time you put your driving gloves on, like an old pervert, you hit me in the face. Who wears driving gloves at 34?
No, they're not driving gloves. They're my gloves. I get cold hands in the winter.
But you wear them for driving.
No, I wear them all the time in the winter.
Mainly for driving.
No, my hands get cold in the car.
I'm going to get you a little hat for driving as well.
No.
A driving hat. Maybe some goggles.
I won't wear hats.
You'd be like Mr. Toad from Wind in the Willow.
Boop, boop. Boop, boop.
You had a good laugh when he cuts the rope to the chandelier and it falls on him.
Oh, yeah. But that classic. Is funny.
Classic. See, that's why I love Mel Brooks.
Classic.
He's very much from like the Zucker School of comedy. There's a gag. They keep coming. Lots of gags all the time.
Keep them coming.
Yeah. Sometimes they land, sometimes they don't. But there's plenty of jokes. If you don't like one joke, there's going to be another one along in a minute. And you'll probably like that one.
That's... Isn't that the same as like...
Yeah, like the Zucker comedy is like A Naked Gun and Top Secret, which we've talked about on here. Yeah. I know it gets on your nerves, but that's exactly how I like a comedy film. Because, I mean, like stuff like The Hangover, which is a lot slower... It builds up to these things and they're not always that great at the end.
Well, no, because he's just stuck on the roof, isn't he?
Yeah. He's just, after all that, he's just stuck on a fucking roof.
He's a mug, isn't he?
Yeah. Anyway. one of my favourite things was Richard Lewis from Curb Your Enthusiasm is King John in this. And he's got a mole that changes position at all times. And then just the sheriff's like, didn't your mole used to be over there? I have a mole.
Do you think they pointed that out because people wouldn't have noticed?
No, it's a joke, wasn't it? My other favourite bit was Dom DeLuise playing like an Italian gangster.
Oh my God. His voice is so funny.
I can't understand a word you're saying. I've just been to the dentist. He had a lizard in his hand the whole time. The lizard started moving.
It's a plastic lizard.
But it's like animatronic. And he's like, oh, his lizard's breath stinks.
I like his voice because it reminds me of Zootropolis, the rat who's the gangster.
Dogs like this.
Yeah.
Like a gangster. Yeah. Imagine if all gangsters spoke like that. You'd be able to spot them a mile.
I know. It'd
be great.
Life a lot easier.
Yeah. You liked some of the gags the hangman made, didn't you?
I did.
Especially, no noose is good news. Yeah. The final fight's very funny.
Yeah, I like the final fight.
Lots of little gags. It's almost as good as the final fight in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, where it just looked like it was their last day on set and Kevin Costner and Alan Rickman just break everything that's in the room.
Yeah. They're like, fuck this shit.
I'm just going to smash this entire set to pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
No one's taking this prop home.
And yeah. I was like, Kevin, do you think I could keep this chair at the end of filming?
No.
You can fuck off. I'm going to smash it against the wall.
Yeah.
And then Patrick Stewart pops up at the end, but he's doing a Sean Connery voice, which I really liked. Yeah.
He's trying, isn't he, to do a Sean Connery?
And succeeding.
Did he?
Patrick Stewart's one of the finest actors ever, generally.
Did he succeed?
He did. It was a gag, wasn't it? Funny, yeah.
I like Patrick Stewart.
Who doesn't love Patrick Stewart? He's like the nation's granddad.
Whenever I see him, I just think of Star Trek.
Yeah, because he's Captain Picard.
That's the only thing I think of. Nothing else. And his bald head.
His lovely bald head.
I bet he moisturises that.
Probably not so much anymore.
Why?
He's getting on in life now. He probably doesn't care about his head
he
being moist.
He must moisturise his head.
How moist does a head need to be?
Well, you have to keep it moisturised. It's like skin. It'll dry and flake then.
Yeah?
Do you don't want a flaky head?
I suppose not.
Because people think you've got dandruff then.
But you if you've got no hair, you can't have dandruff.
Yeah, but then you'll have flaky skin all over his...
Couldn't you exfoliate your bald head every
month? You could.
And then moisturise it.
Yeah.
Mm. But then it would age slower than the rest of your head.
Why?
Because you wouldn't want to exfoliate and moisturise your face every day.
Some men do.
Some men have very good skin. If I moisturised every day, I'd have greasy skin.
Yeah, but you don't need to moisturise.
I don't. If anything, I need the opposite. I need a drying agent. Have an oily face. Anyway, well, that was... Robin Hood, Men in Tights by Mel Brooks. Did you like it?
Would I recommend this film?
Would you?
Yeah.
And who to?
My sister quite likes this film. I think I've watched it with her before, but I can't remember.
How many slices of cake out of 12 do you give it?
Seven.
Seven of what?
Bit drier Victoria sponge.
Dear, so you didn't like it very much.
I didn't like it that much, no.
No, well, that's a shame. I give it 11 slices of gatto.
Oh, it's because you like the gag with the fat man.
Yes, I did. I'll be thinking about that for a long time.
Why are you writing that down?
I don't know.
We've just said it.
I've had a few beers and the show's gone to shit.
No, it hasn't.
Right, crucial question. Is either of these films better than Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh.
But what are we going to watch next time? Balls of Steel, was it?
What? Balls of Steel?
What's that thing? Balls...
The fuck are you talking about?
You mentioned it earlier.
Spaceballs. We might watch Spaceballs.
Okay.
I think though next week we'll be watching Shaggy D.A.
Shaggy D.A.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's been requested by one of our faithful listeners.
Shaggy D.A.?
It's on Disney Plus, yeah.
Oh, is it? Mm. Okay.
It's an old Disney
movie. Good job I paid for Disney Plus.
Well, yeah, we're getting our money's worth at last, aren't we? Yeah. Well, we asked both Film Twitter and the Pod Nation to get involved in this week's episode to see which of these two films was the better. And we put a poll on Twitter. We got 178 votes.
Wow.
Our most popular poll. So clearly a lot of opinions about these two films.
Yes.
And I'm proud to say that Robin Hood Men in Tights won by a landslide. 57% of the vote to 43% for Disney's Robin Hood.
It's not massive, though.
It's a pretty significant majority.
Yeah, all right then.
It's better than the Brexit referendum. There won't be a second referendum on this, I tell you. Yes. So thank you for everyone that got involved.
Yes.
And I agree with your poll.
I don't.
Well, you're wrong. The people have spoken and the people
democracy here.
Well, it's a poll. It's exactly a democracy.
Yeah, but I have the final say.
And people on Twitter can only vote once. You don't have the final say.
Yeah, I do.
You only get the final say on whether it's better than Robin Hood.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, well, in that case, you are the dictator in this situation.
I am.
Your word.
I'm like Yong Jong In.
Long Jong Un. Yes, you are. Anyway, we've dragged on this episode. Sorry, it's a bit long. I'll cut some bits out. It'll be fine. You can find us, of course, on Twitter and Instagram at Pete and Fran Pod or Robin Hood Pod. and on the Pod Nation list on podchaser.com. There's 40 great podcasts on there, so go check them out. Thanks for the 4 new iTunes reviews we've received this week. Don't forget, that's the best way you can help support the podcast. Get on there, give us 5 stars. Keep them coming, folks. And if you do, we'll love you forever. Thanks for all your input into this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Next week, more stuff. Yeah. A dog who is a district attorney.
Okay.
Look forward to that.
Lovely.
Goodbye, everyone. Ta-da. Bye. Bye, 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 bye. Cooking with Grief podcast does indeed go for Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yes.
And they've sent us a little gif of Robin Hood saying that he can speak in an English accent.
He can.
Yeah. I used to watch this podcast, said they were the ones that broke the tie. So up until 23 hours ago, it was pretty close.
Oh.
Yeah. What Should We Watch says, this is a tough one. I love them both so much.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good.
So, I wonder which... They should get in touch and tell us which one they picked. What Should We Watch? Christy Doesn't Know Movies says, Men in Tights is the winner here, even just based on the title alone. Well, you can't just judge it
well,
from the title.
Christy clearly doesn't know movies. There is a lot of, like, lower region filming for the men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talking Shiz says 100% Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cage's Kiss say, oh man, this is so hard. I saw Men in Tights and thought, well, this is an easy one. But then I saw Disney's Robin Hood. Damn. Cinematic Blind Spot says, gotta go with Mel Brooks on this one. Shoot the Flick, I love them both, but Men in Tights makes me laugh so hard.
Oh, good.
Not Suitable for Adults prefers Disney's Robin Hood. And they say, love both, but there's one clear winner.
Aww.
And they sent us a little gif of a cartoon of fox with an arrow in his hand.
Yeah, he is cute.
Friends and Flayers say, ooh de la la, and they have voted for the animated fox.
Cool.
Yeah. The Movie Seller say, Disney's Robin Hood is my all-time favourite Disney animated film. It's absolutely perfect. Men in Tights is really fun, but it doesn't balance the goofy with anything else, so it's a bit one note. I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
And that's probably why Robin Hood Prince of Thieves is a superior film.
Because it has a bit of everything.
Does balance the humour with some seriousness.
See, I told you.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing that these films aren't better. Well, I've still enjoyed them a lot. Geeksploration says, ooh de la la, it's mine too, meaning they also love Robin Hood, the Disney version. And I must have watched it hundreds of times as a kid. I love the synergy with The Jungle Book, my second favourite Disney animated movie. Geeks Freaks podcast says, wow, that's a tough one. But they also didn't tell us which one they voted for. Come on, guys, come on. The Book of Liars has gone for Prince of Thieves. Bad Pitches say, that fox. So I'm guessing he liked the animated version.
Yes.
On Second Watch say, all four of us would agree that Men in Tights is the clear winner. Very well. Rick J, tough choice between the Dread Pirate Robin Hood and the cartoon musical with a couple of memorable songs. Going with the Tights in a close one. Mm-hmm. Soundtrack podcast, Disney's Robin Hood inspired a generation of fairies. Yeah. And Launching the Pilot also go for Robin Hood Men in Tights, and they've sent us a little gif of men wearing tights.